want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 12. The book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet of God, chapter number 12. There used to be a pastor at Smithville that, it wasn't Smithville Baptist, it was another church at Smithville, would take his shoes off when he got up to preach because he said that the Lord said that was holy ground. And I may take mine off tonight because my stinking feet are hurting, okay? But the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 12. May we pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity we have to assemble here tonight in the house of the Lord to share your word and sing your praise, to lift up your name in worship, to come together with God's people and feel the encouraging power that comes from being together with them. And Lord, tonight we ask you that you might take this simple sermon tonight and use it in our hearts and lives to encourage us, to give us that which we need in this hour. And we'll thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah, of course, was a prophet to the nation of Judah. And Jeremiah was God's man during the time, or one of God's men during the time that Judah was carried off into the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah was true unto God. He was called by God in chapter number 1 and sent as God's spokesman for his time. Many things happened to Jeremiah in his life before that the Babylonian hordes overran Jerusalem and Judah and carried away the captives into the land of Babylon for 70 years until they were able to return. Here in chapter number 12, Jeremiah is going to say some things that I believe are really relevant to the time in which you and I live this evening. He begins chapter 12 with these words in verse 1, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee." Now, Jeremiah recognized the righteousness of God. He recognized that God was a righteous, holy God. Now, that's good recognition tonight, and you and I have to come to that conclusion that God is a wonderful, awesome God this evening. Jeremiah said, I know that you're righteous. I know that the things you do are right. And you do not make mistakes. But then he asked a question. And this question is maybe one of the greatest questions that's ever been asked. It was asked by the psalmist. It was asked by the prophet Habakkuk. You can find it implied in many other places in Scripture. Job had the same question. And that question is, but in verse number 1, "Wherefore doeth the way of the wicked prosper?" Why do the wicked prosper? Why do those who care nothing about God, who tonight have no thought of God in their eyes, who have forgotten about God, many times they are religious, but they have nothing to do with the true God of glory. Why do they prosper? And my guess tonight, if there's a perplexing question in Scripture tonight, that is the perplexing of all questions. Why doth the wicked prosper? Why do they have money? Why do they have financial success in their life? Why do they enjoy all the blessings that this world has to offer. Why are they prospering? Why are they the ones that are able to gather the power, the prestige, the prosperity? Why do the wicked prosper? Now, that's perplexing, isn't it? We know that God is a righteous God, and Jeremiah said, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Jeremiah said, Lord, I've got a question. I'm perplexed. I'm confused. Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm kind of like a termite in a yo-yo. I'm confused. I don't know which direction to turn. Why do the wicked prosper? Now let me ask you tonight, in your own mind, have you ever wondered the same thing? Can you look around society of this day, the times of that we live tonight, the times that you and I are here? Have you ever answered or asked that question? Why do the wicked prosper? Somebody says, well, Pastor, why do the wicked prosper? Well, we get to that in just a moment. Jeremiah said, wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? They seemingly have no problems in their life. They are enjoying all the great things of life. They're happy that deal very treacherously. Have you ever saw that tonight? People who are wicked, people who have no thought of God, who never attempt to worship the Lord, who have no concept of what it means to be obedient to the God of the Bible, yet tonight they are happy and prosperous. Jeremiah said, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit that are near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Jeremiah was overcome. He said, I'm seeing all of this, Lord. You planted them. I know you're in charge. I know that you know what's going on. I know that you're sovereign. And so, God, you know what's going on. I tell you what I want you to do. Just kill them all. That's what he said. Listen to it. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Just kill them all. You ever felt plumb unchristian? Huh? That's kind of the way Jeremiah was saying, just kill them all, Lord. Well, you look around today and you see some of the things that are happening. And sometimes in my own mind, I have to say, why do the wicked prosper? Lord, I know you're in charge, and why don't you just take care of this bunch? Why don't you wipe them out? Why don't you get rid of them? You ever feel that way? Mm-hmm. I mean, you look, I mean, it's amazing, the world. Yesterday I was driving up the road and I had the radio on. Well, I think it was actually Friday night. And I had the radio on to keep myself awake. And Glenn Campbell came on singing his popular song. You know what that was? Like a rhinestone cowboy. And he says, there's been a lot of compromising on the roads to my horizon, but I'm going to be where the lights is shining on me. Doesn't matter what I have to do to get there. Nice guys get washed away like the rain. But I'm going to get there. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to reach the top. amazes me. But we see that tonight. I cannot understand it. You can take a profane-laced comedian, bring him to Bancorp South in Tupelo, Mississippi, and he'll carry home hundreds of thousands of dollars for a two-hour performance. You bring a lot of this stuff around and you look at it and you say, Lord, why is this happening? Why are the wicked prospering? How long shall the land mourn? You know, the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans that creation is even groaning. I believe all of creation is mourning and groaning tonight for what's going on. And the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. We're in a corrupt time, and corruption, and I don't just mean the corruption you read about, I mean moral corruption. To be fair with you, I believe if we could really get somewhere at times and just sniff real good, we could smell the rotten corruption of this country. Because it's just like rotten flesh. It's just all around us. It's a putrefying smell tonight. The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said he shall not see our last end. They're not afraid of the Lord. The Bible teaches us there's no fear of God before their eyes. Why do the wicked prosper? That's a good question. I cannot tell you tonight there's a great answer for it. Psalm 73 probably has the greatest answer when the psalmist said, I've even got to the point I sometimes wish I wasn't even a Christian. But he said, then I went to the house of God and learned of their end. Why do the wicked prosper? I can't always tell you why the wicked prosper. But there's something I want you to think about tonight. All that we see, and the true church of Jesus Christ, the true Christians tonight, are in a time of travail. We are seeing a tip of the iceberg of what is yet to come. Somebody says, how do you know that? Well, I'm going to show you something in just a moment, but look in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. I guess some very familiar scripture, but you listen to what Paul writes to Timothy in, chapter 3 and verse 12. And he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that make an attempt to live according to the Holy Scripture. If you oppose things that, even though they are politically correct, but they oppose the Word of God, then this evening the Bible says that you shall suffer persecution. Now it can take many forms, and I'm not getting into that, but we are seeing it as a tip of the iceberg in this country. Christians are suffering persecution on all fronts. And Paul makes this statement then in reference to that. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Paul says it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. Now notice what God answers Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. If thou hast run with footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest that they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? God says, Jeremiah, you hadn't seen anything yet. You just been running with the foot soldiers. You've just been dealing with the infantry. The cavalry's on the way. And it's not going to get any better. Evil men and seducers, Paul said, will wax worse and worse. I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm saying it tonight to encourage you. To understand that God is preparing this world for judgment. He's preparing this world for the rapture of the church and the coming of the Antichrist, which is not far away, I believe. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I read something this morning in the paper. And as I read it, I sat back and thought in my mind what Jeremiah said, Lord, kill them all. You say, what? We're approaching the 2016 presidential election. And I don't know anything about the politics, but the thing that amazed me is guess who is number one? Even though people say they don't trust her. Hillary Clinton is far ahead of every Republican and every Democrat that you can name. This is probably not politically correct, but if you think Obama's bad, honey, he's a footman. The cavalry's on the way. It's not going to get better. We're going to see things that we never thought we'd see. We're already seeing many of them, but it is an amazing fact tonight of all that we're seeing. Paul said evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. God is preparing a world for the coming of Christ. He's preparing a nation of Israel. I believe that's the reason that you saw so much about Israel in the news recently. The Israelite people tonight are not going to unite with the Arabs. They're not going to align themselves with the Muslims. They're going tonight to suffer persecution. And God is preparing Israel. He's preparing this world for Jesus Christ to come and in the coming of the Antichrist. And the amazing thing when you read all of this is that you never see any, and I use the term religion. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because I'm going to show you religion can be terrible deceiving. But you never hear of any other religion being persecuted except Christianity. In Idaho, many other states, persecuting Christians because they say they discriminate against gay couples. You never hear them saying, well, the Muslims have to do it. They can do what they want. Why? Because the world wants to get rid of Jesus Christ. And guess what? It won't be long till they're rid of him. And the Bible says it shall become hell upon the earth. In Revelation chapter number 6, you have the four horsemen that come out of the seals when Jesus opens the seals, the title deed to this earth. And when those four horsemen appear, you find tonight that the white horse and the black horse and the red horse and the pale horse, and as they come into this world tonight, that's what takes place after Jesus comes for his people. And it's Revelation from chapter 6 down through, I guess, chapter 16, you could say, is a repetitious cycle of three of seals and vials and trumpets. God showing us tonight the terribleness that's going to happen in this world when Jesus comes and leaves the world without Christ, when the Holy Spirit is moved and the restrainer is now gone. God gives many details in some of the other chapters, but you find this repetitious cycle of horrible and terrible things that are going to happen. Jesus is coming, but so is the Antichrist. Jeremiah says in verse number 9, the Lord says, "My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird." Roy Acuff had a song called "The Great Speckled Bird." "The birds round about her are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour." Then notice verse number 10. "Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot, and they have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness." That's amazing, isn't it? Many pastors. In another place, God says they have become brutish. One of the root meanings of that word brutish is they're lifted up with pride. They're, as the black preacher used to say, peacock proud. They're glad and to stand up and say, "Look who I am, look what I've done. I'm got an education, you're a backwoods preacher. You don't know anything." And they lead people astray. Lead him in the wrong direction, away from the Word of God. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. But listen to this. In all the things that are getting worse, and all the things that are going to happen, it's God preparing a world for the coming of the Antichrist, and preparing his people for the coming of the Christ. The worse it gets, the more we'll be looking for Jesus, I'll guarantee you. So tonight, I cannot tell you exactly why the wicked prosper, but I can tell you this tonight, they have an end that's not going to be pleasant. And we have a Savior who is about to come. And that'll be the greatest thing that'll ever happen to God's people when God comes tonight to take us out of this present evil world.
Amen. Right.
So when you look around and you see all the things that are happening, we're not going to change it by the political process. I don't think we're going to change it anyway. I think tonight we're just going to see things get worse and worse until Jesus comes. But hallelujah, he'll give us the strength and the endurance to get through it tonight.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Tonight. But things may get tough. before he gets here. But we still have a Savior and still have a God, as Jeremiah said, who's on the throne, who's going to take care of everything. Hallelujah tonight. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for this opportunity we've had to come and assemble here. Thank you tonight for being able to worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and for all that you do. We'll praise you through eternity in Jesus' name.